He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, who abides in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, My refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray that in our worship, as in our study, that we may seek to know Thee, and that in knowing Thee we may come to love Thee, and that in loving Thee we may find the ways to serve Thee better. In Jesus' name we pray. Our hymn is number 108. Come to share in this most significant occasion, particularly for those of us who are alumni of Mercer University. It is my particular pleasure and a distinct privilege indeed to introduce to you those who will lead us in our worship today. Dr. Harold McManus is with us today and has brought as his guest Dr. Thomas Holmes. Dr. McManus received his BA degree from Wake Forest College, his BD degree from Southern Seminary in Louisville, and his PhD degree from Yale University. He has been for 18 years now on the faculty of Mercer University, where he is professor of church history and chairman of the Department of Christianity since 1960. We are certainly delighted to have Dr. McManus and Dr. Holmes to be with us today. And at this time, I give you Dr. Harold McManus, who will lead us in the reading of the scripture and will subsequently introduce his guest, Dr. McManus.
Thank you, Jerry. Let me say how much I appreciate the opportunity of being here. I think what Jim Blackmore is working out here in terms of representatives of various colleges having a day such as this at this seminary is a very wonderful thing. I regret that in earlier years when he has invited me to be here, conflicts made it impossible. I'm very happy to be here today. Would you give attention to the reading of a portion of the Ephesian letter from the second chapter? These few words, your world was a world without hope and without God. But now in union with Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near through the shedding of Christ's blood. For he is himself our peace. Gentiles and Jews, he has made the two one, and in his own body of flesh and blood has broken down the enmity which stood like a dividing wall between them. For he annulled the law with its rules and regulations so as to create out of the two a single new humanity in himself, thereby making peace. This was his purpose, to reconcile the two and a single body to God through the cross on which he killed the enmity. So he came and proclaimed the good news. Peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were nearby. For through him, we both alike have access to the Father in the one Spirit. Thus you are no longer aliens in a foreign land, but fellow citizens with God's people, members of God's household. I would pause at this point and repeat together, please, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I want to take a very brief moment to introduce the speaker of this chapel service. There's so much that could be said and ought to be said, but in fairness to him and to give him the time that he needs, let me just say that Dr. Thomas J. Holmes was, until 10 days ago, the pastor of the Tatnall Square Baptist Church on the Mercer University campus. He had been there since 1964. Prior to that, he was director of alumni affairs and director of development for Mercer University, and had been in that position for several years, five or six. Prior to that, he was pastor of the College Park Church in Georgia. And prior to that, was a student here at Southeastern, taking his degree here. In recent years, so that he is still well known to many of the faculty persons on the campus still. Some of you have seen in the newspaper what has happened at our beloved church, the church of which I'm a member and have been for many, many years. The church that sits on the corner of our campus has been there now for 75 years, a lighthouse. This church has been torn in half over the integration matter, as many churches in North Carolina have been. So that it would be an old story to a lot of you to repeat all that has happened. I simply want to say that in all that has taken place, that issued 2 weeks ago in the congregation, requesting by formal vote the resignation of Dr. Holmes, his assistant, and minister of music, all three of them. And all that has happened, I've never known a man with more Christian conviction, with more gentleness of spirit, with a healthier outlook, and in the process of it all, a man who could and did make such fine Christian witness as this man, the senior minister, made. I won't go back through all of that. You've seen it in the biblical recorder. You've seen it in the newspaper. You've probably seen it on national television. So much that has happened in the recent episode there. Dr. Holmes, at my invitation, and Jim Blackmore's, comes now not to tell you, I'm sure, all that has happened, but to make some affirmations in the light of what has happened, and what he himself and his wife and family and all of us there have been caught up in. A real pleasure to step aside and to give this time to Dr. Thomas J. Holmes.
Thank you, Dr. McManus. I should like to announce that Dr. Bland has asked me to visit his class in Christian Ethics at 12 noon, which will be located in room 205 in the Appleby building. All are welcome, and we will spend that time as you so desire in questioning and discussion, that you any dealing with any questions you may have. I want to say how grateful I am to Dr. McManus for inviting me to come here with him on this visit, to be here in this chapel, and how gracious he was to ask me to take the time that he had been asked to use here in speaking to you in chapel. And of course, the one would like to reminisce a great deal about his days on the campus here. I finally graduated from this institution. After graduating from Mercer, it took me 4 years to pay back the money I owed then, and I went to Louisville Seminary and was there 1 year and had to drop out for financial reasons, and 8 years later I came to Southeastern. Was here 2 years and went back to Georgia due to some problems in physical condition in my family. And finally, I came back, flying back every week for my last semester of work, and graduated in 1956. And when I walked across the platform, Dr. Staley had known how long it had taken me to finish because he was at Louisville when I was there. And he whispered to me, and he said, "Tom, would you like for me to stop the procession and we cry a little bit?" I was prepared for that. I said, "No, I'll just let you cry with relief." But the boys had fixed me up, and my wife's a very dignified woman, very quiet spoken. She had endured all of those movings around from seminary to seminary, I never will believe it was not done deliberately, but the night before at the party for the wives, they gave her 2 Ph.T. degrees. They were so glad to see me finish at last. But of course, in the meantime, I worked in a little graduate work at Emory University, and I still love to go to school. I guess I'm one of the perennial students. I'm glad to be here this morning and to see you and to see some of the teachers who meant so much to me. I bring greetings to you from Dr. E.A. McDowell, who tried to teach me some Greek, and he said to tell you how much he loved you, how much he misses you, how happy he is in his new work. And I want to say how much he has meant to me as a counselor and a friend in these days of testing through which we have gone. I believe I sense something, since it has not been too long since I have been a seminarian, of what is in your mind and heart. And I want to come this morning to make some affirmations. I shall have time only to make one or two statements concerning each of the affirmations, but I want to make them in the light of what has happened. When I went to be pastor of the church at Tatnall Square, on the campus there, I was asked to lead in a ministry for which the church had been organized 75 years ago to minister to the university community and the immediate surrounding community. And I made clear my position, and because I knew the feelings of some of the people within the congregation, and we began an effort to bring the church to see the wonderful responsibility and opportunity it had, because the church has had a tremendous influence through its history. there are 50 missionaries today who came through that church during their student days at Mercer. Some of the great leaders of our denomination were nurtured in the life of that congregation while they were students at Mercer University. But gradually, over a period of the last 10 years, the church had moved away from the community, and there was very little being done in the matter of a witness there, a relevant witness to the university life and community. I was invited to come for that purpose. It was clear my position. And yet on June 26th, when we had a visit by two Negro students, trouble began within the church. And finally, communications broke down, as they so often do in a situation like this. And it eventuated in the discharge of Mr. Jack Jones, our minister of music, Mr. Douglas Johnson, our assistant pastor and minister of students, and myself. Of course, a thing like this happening, especially in the South at the present time, draws forth much publicity, much questioning, curiosity. And I have had calls from, of course, many reporters and newspaper and TV and radio people wanting to get statements and so on. One reporter called me, UPI, and questioned me. He was a Baptist, an earnest, seeking Baptist layman. And he talked with me for 30 minutes on Sunday evening after our discharge on September 25th. He said, "Let me ask you this question. Has this shaken your faith?" I said, "No, I do not think it has shaken my faith. It has tested my faith. I could not be honest and say that it has not tested me and my faith in many areas. But as I try to assess the situation this close to it, I feel that it has strengthened my faith, especially in the need for a prophetic ministry in the life of our churches today." Now, your professors here can talk to you much more relevantly and much more to the point about the role of the minister as the voice of God. I shall not try to preach to you about that. I simply want to make five affirmations briefly in the light of all of this. First of all, I believe in the kingdom of God. I have not had time to exegete the words of Jesus in the third chapter of John when he said to Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." I don't know all that Jesus meant, but he said in another place, "The kingdom of heaven is within you." And he said to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." Paul said, the things which are seen are temporal, the things which are unseen are eternal. Jesus was talking about a very real kingdom, a spiritual kingdom, that's not seen with a natural eye, and yet it is seen by God's people. I want to affirm that in this experience, as never before in my life, I have seen the reality of God's eternal kingdom. One Sunday evening, several weeks ago, one of our beloved deacons, chairman of the English department at Mercer University, received his PhD from Northwestern University, called me aside and he said, "Pastor, this has been the most tragic and most disturbing experience I have ever had in my life. But he said, I want to tell you tonight, I wouldn't take $1 million for the spiritual experience I have received as I have been called upon to make a new commitment of my life to Christ and his kingdom. And I thank God for what had taken place in that man's life. I believe, as never before, in the reality of God's kingdom. My second affirmation is that I believe in the relevance of God's word for our time. I think a lot of this talk about relevance is sometimes, if not an embarrassment to God, is an insult to God. If God has spoken to man, he has spoken relevantly. And I have seen that in the proclamation of the message of God's word, faithfully and as carefully as we can, in the light of the contemporary situation, God speaks to the hearts and the minds of men. And I would say to you, young preachers, the word of God is relevant to our modern life. My third affirmation is, I believe in the church. I think a lot of the publicity that has come to this incident has come from some people who like to strike out an institutional religion, the institution of the church. Just as I do not believe we can have marriage without the family, I do not believe that we can have Christianity without the church. If the church is the body of Christ, it is relevant. It is essential in the life of our world. Of course, there have been fables and myths of so-called success and mission arising around the church, and it is always our task to demythologize the ideas that people have of what the church really is and what the mission of the church really is. But I affirm to you this morning that I believe in the church, the institution of the church. And it distresses me terribly that so many of our young ministers today seem to be losing their faith in the efficacy of the ministry through the institutional church. I know all of the problems about how the church becomes involved in the world and is influenced by the culture in which it lives. But I've received about 300 letters and telegrams and cablegrams from our missionaries even about this thing. And there is an agony of soul today going on within the life of the church in our nation. And there is a seeking after the reality of the meaning of the body of Christ, those reconciled people. And I want to affirm this morning that I believe in the institutional church. I believe that it must always be going through the process of self-examination, but that is a part of the work of the minister who speaks for God, because only by the preaching of his word does Christ become formed within the heart and life of the man, the believer. I move then, of course, to say I believe in the mission of the preacher, of the Christian minister, the first mission, the ministry of the word. I feel that it will always be in God's plan that thou shalt be his man or his woman to stand and proclaim from the heart and the life of a redeemed individual who lives in contact with Christ through the Holy Spirit and his word, to proclaim the word. I believe in that mission. I hope that you will come more and more to believe in it, and that it will be in your life as it was in the life of Jeremiah, a fire within your bones that you cannot quench, to preach the word of God. That's what's needed right now. The preaching of the word of God is just not another word being heard. It is the word most needed right now. Most needed right now. My last affirmation is this. I believe in the providence of God. I have said to my people over and over again, Christianity is not a system of morality. It is not a ritualistic program. It is not a philosophy of life. It is not a cold, dead system of theology. The Christian faith in its reality is the religion of the presence. It is a vital walk with God in Christ Jesus. God stands above history. He is the creator of all there is. And he is the other apart from it, and yet, though he stands above history, he has involved himself in history through the involvement of himself in our lives as individuals. It seems to me that is the story of the Bible, and that he is at work in our lives. And I've come to appreciate the privilege of suffering. I think one of the great weaknesses of our modern Christianity is that our idea of success as Southern Baptists and other denominations, I cast no fiery darts at my denomination this morning. I feel though that we have been touched too much with the materialism of our time, the secularism of our time. And we have not been able to see how God is at work in our world. And there is a need for us to be willing to suffer. Now, I know the accommodations of our culture to Christian ethics. I can see evidences of progress in our culture. But I want to say this to you this morning. It is no easier to be a Christian today than it was in the first century, because our problems are of a different type, but no less pointed, no less critical, no less awful than the problems of the first century. And the call to modern Christians is a call to self-denial. It's a call to suffering if necessary. I have not sought to be a martyr. I have not sought to be a hero. I have tried only to be a witness. And sometimes when you get backed in a corner, like I was, you have to be willing to be a martyr. I don't consider myself that, but I call to your remembrance that the word martyr is an anglicizing of the Greek word meaning to witness. And sometimes, if necessary, we must sacrifice to do so. And in the providence of God, my family and I have been blessed with wonderful friends and helpers such as Dr. McManus and others. And we feel that we are closer to God than We understand His purpose for our lives now more than ever. And the prayer that I have prayed every day now, in all of this agony, through which we are passing and through so which so many other young ministers are passing, because I receive letters from them now in the hundreds, that God is at work. And I believe that Paul wrote, not theoretically, but out of the existential circumstances of his own life, when he said, "But we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." And I count it a privilege to have had the opportunity to have made this witness. I call upon you and all of my Christian brethren everywhere to humble ourselves and to become more completely and fully involved in what our Lord God is trying to do in our world. Our Father, we pray first of all that Thou would cleanse our hearts from all unrighteousness. Never let bitterness become a part of us. Never let cynicism find seat in our minds and hearts. Keep us teachable. Make us always willing to be led of Thy Spirit. And give us Thy great courage and strength, that whatever may be the circumstances of our lives, we shall always be found faithful to our Lord. We pray in His name.